శ్రీ అద్వైత గిరాధా శివాసతి గౌర భక్తగణికి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గొప్ప గోపినాథ్ శ్యామకుంద్ రాధకుంద్ గిరిగౌడానికి రజభూమి శ్రీ బృందావనంకి శ్రీ నవరీ మాయపూడానికి శ్రీ జగన్నాథ్పురి దానికి జయ జగన్నాథ్ బలదేవ్ సుభద్ర మహారాణికి గంగమాయకి జమనమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేత భక్త బృందకి జాయిని తాయ్ గో ప్రేమనందే ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు దేశము డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు దేశము డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు దేశము డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జై. Hare Krishna. So this morning we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 66. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pramattamuccha iti kritya chintaya. Pravriddha lobham vishayeshu lalasam. Tvam apramatta sasa vipadyase shulelyano iva kumantaka. Brahmattamuccay iti kritya chintaya. Pravriddha lobham vishayeshu lalasam. Tvam apramatta sasa vipadyase shulle lihano hi vakum antakah. Brahmattamuccheriti kritya chintaya. Pravriddha lobham vishayeshu lalasam. Tvam apramatta sasa vipadyase shulle lihano hi vakum antakah. Mata Padamochayi Krishna Chintaya. Brahmatam, persons who are mad. Jai, loudly. Iti, thus. Kritya, to be done. Chintaya, by such desire. Pravriddha, very much advanced. Lobham, greed. Vishayeshu, in material enjoyment. Lalasam, so desiring. Tvam, your lordship. Apramatta, completely in transcendence. Sahasa, all of a sudden. Abhipadyase, seizes them. Chut, hungry. Lelihana, by the greedy tongue. Ahi, snake. Iva, like. Akum, mouse. Antakaha, destroyer. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. My dear Lord, all living entities within this material world are mad after planning for things, and they are always busy with the desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity, but your lordship is always alert, and in due course of time you strike him just as a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him. Please repeat. My dear Lord, all living entities within this material world are mad after planning for things, and they are always busy with a desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity, but your lordship is always alert, and in due course of time you strike him just as a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him. Purport. Everyone is greedy and everyone makes plans for material enjoyment. In his lust for material enjoyment, the living entity is described as a madman. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 27, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasah ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Everything is enacted by the laws of nature, and these laws are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The atheists or unintelligent men do not know this. They are busy making their own plans, and big nations are busy expanding their empires. And yet we know that in due course of time, many empires have come into existence and been destroyed. Many aristocratic families are created by people in their extreme madness. But we can see in the course of time, those families and empires have all been destroyed. But still the foolish atheists do not accept the supreme authority of the Lord. Such foolish people unnecessarily concoct their own duties without referring to the supreme authority of the Lord. The so-called political leaders are busy making plans to advance the material prosperity of their nation. But factually, these political leaders only want an exalted position for themselves. Due to their greed for material position, they falsely present themselves as leaders before the people and collect their votes, although they are completely under the grip of the laws of material nature. These are some of the faults of modern civilization. Without taking to God consciousness and accepting the authority of the Lord, the living entities become ultimately confused and frustrated in their plan-making attempts. Due to their unauthorized plans for economic development, the price of commodities is rising daily all over the world. So much so that it has become difficult for the poorer classes, and they are suffering the consequences. And due to lack of Krishna consciousness, people are being fooled by so-called leaders and plan makers. Consequently, the sufferings of the people are increasing. According to the laws of nature, which are backed by the Lord, nothing can be permanent within this material world. Therefore, everyone should be allowed to take shelter of the Absolute in order to be saved. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 27,
Bhaktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sohidnam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrityati.
The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. If one wants peace of mind and tranquility in society, he must accept the fact that the real enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is the proprietor of everything all over the universe, and he is the supreme friend of all living entities as well. By understanding this, people can become happy and peaceful individually and collectively. Read the verse again.
Brahmatamuchai iti kritya chintaya pravritta lobam visayeshu lalasam tvam apramatta sasa vipadyase shulelihano hi vakumantakah.
My dear Lord, all living entities within this material world are mad after planning for things, and they are always busy with the desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity, but your Lordship is always alert, and in due course of time, you strike him just as a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him.
Before I begin speaking on this glorious Amala Purana, Bhagavad Purana, I'd like to beg for the permission and blessings of all the assembled devotees. It's only by your mercy that I'm able to say something of worth for your inspiration and my purification. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Chaitanya Samantanamaya Namami Bhakti Chaitanya Prabhupada Sadhyam Sri Vajagandhanam Darshi Kanti Padam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samantanamaya Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravana Pacharana Vishnu Shishana.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Anupishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gudham Hayyam Vadati Swabhadam Ekam Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The disease of this material world is an overwhelming desire to enjoy sense gratification at any costs. This is compared to a state of madness. What else can we call it? Is there any possibility of somebody being happy and comfortable in the midst of a blazing forest fire? And this is what this material world is. Samsara dhava nalanima. This is born from an innate desire for the living entity to enjoy and control material energy. He wants to compete with the Lord. For such a person who is involved or absorbed in materialistic consciousness, is always thinking of how to facilitate his own comfort. He cannot see beyond his own comfort, his own facilities. And thus, he is unable to serve others. He is unable to look at the needs, interests and concerns of others. And he becomes very self-interested, self-absorbed. Somebody who is so self-absorbed, it's not possible for such a person to become self-realized. So, this type of mentality can be counteracted if one tries to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching. Because that nullifies the focus being on oneself. If this mentality spreads throughout society, which is doing now, then we'll see that the consciousness becomes very degraded. We hear such sayings as, each man for himself, take care of number one. All focusing on how to take care of oneself first. One's own comfort first. There's a nice commentary about selfishness on an individual capacity as well as a universal and community capacity in the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter 2, Text 8. Prabhupada calls it a useless waste of time. Dharma svanustita punsam ishvakshena katashriyaha notpadayet yatiratim shama eva I kevanam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So one may perfectly perform his dharma, but if that is not going to lead to him being attracted to understanding Krishna Katha and the purpose behind life, it is a useless waste of time. Prabhupada speaks of this concentrated and selfish individual selfishness in the purport of that verse, and he says that individual consciousness or selfishness is talking about one's own comfort, and extended selfishness means one's family, one's nation, one's country, etc. Selfishness leads to distress. There's one very nice story Sri Srimad Gaura Govinda Maharaj tells. This is from the Upanishads. It's a story of Upamanyu Brahmachari. So, the etiquette of a Brahmachari is that he does not eat until the Guru orders him to eat. And it is stated by Prabhupada many times in if you do a folio search, that a Brahmachari will fast unless he is requested to eat by the spiritual master. So in this particular pastime, Upamanyu, being a Brahmachari disciple of his guru, he is ordered by the spiritual master to take out his cows to pasture for grazing, to feed the cows. Guru had some cows, so he instructed him, Upamani, you take these cows out for grazing. So while he was out grazing, Upamanyu continued with his daily activities, and after some time of doing this service of grazing the cows for his spiritual master marked, Upamanyu, I marked that you're getting fat. How is it? Upamanyu explained, Gurudev, in the morning before noon, whatever bhiksha I collect in charity, I give to you. And in the afternoon, whatever I collect, I eat. What? You eat? This is meant for me. Whatever you collect, you give to me. Oh, I'm sorry, Gurudev. I want to. So then, after some time, with him continuing his service, Upamanyu was being observed by his guru, and the guru noticed, this boy is getting fat again. So Upamanyu, are you still eating? I prohibited you to eat these collections of mine, but still you're getting fat. Gurudev, ever since I promised you this, I've never eaten any of these collections of yours, your alms, whatever grains or chapatis I may get from begging door to door. But I see that the cow's milk udders are very full, so go and I drink from the udder. What? Why are you drinking from the udder? This is not meant for you. You're not meant to do this. Who told you to do this? So once, sorry Gurudev, my mistake, I'll never do it again. So after some time, Guru noticed, Upamanyu is getting plump more. So I stopped you from eating your collections of alms. I stopped you from drinking from the udders of the cow, but still I notice you're getting fat. How is it? Upamanyu explained, after the cows drink the milk, I notice some foam on the lips of the calf. So I go and I lick that. I lick that foam. What? That foam is not meant for you. The calves are meant to lick that. Why are you licking? Okay, I'm very sorry, I won't do it again. After some time, Upamanyu is getting more and more desperate, doing his service, no prasadam until very late, or nothing, he has to fast. He was in the forest one day, he ate some leaves. And these leaves were poisonous leaves. He lost his vision, he became blind. He was walking about, trying to manage his cows, and he fell into a well, deep dark well. And he remained there for some time. After some time, it is noted that Upamanyu is missing from the ashram. Some of the other brahmacharis went to look for him. Guru also came. Hey, Upamanyu, where are you? Nowhere to be seen. Then some faint voices coming from within the ground. Gurudev, here I am. I fall into this deep dark well. And he explained the situation. That I was very hungry, starving, and I had to eat something. So I ate some leaves. But they were poisonous leaves and now I'm blind. So Guru said, don't worry. Chant this mantra and the Ashwini Kumars, who are divine mendicants and healers, they will come and heal you. So Upamanyu chanted the mantra and the Ashwini Kumars came immediately. So they said, we will offer you this cake. You eat this cake and your vision will be restored. Oh no, 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 I can't eat this cake. Why? This cake will heal you, you'll get your vision back. I cannot eat this cake until my guru orders. Guru orders, but Guru himself has eaten before you, so you can eat. Oh, Guru has eaten, let me take. Then he hesitated. But still I cannot eat. Why you cannot eat? I cannot eat because my Guru Maharaj has not personally told me to eat. So rather than eat that cake and save his vision, he remained blind in this way. So spiritual master came to find out about this behavior of Upamanyu. Very pleased. Passed the test of the spiritual master. So he took him out of the well, he gave him transcendental knowledge, gave him full blessings, and by his potency he restored his vision. Not only material but spiritual. Divya Chakshus enabled him to see through the eyes of Shastra. So the moral of the story is that if we attempt in any way in our Krishna consciousness practice to try and use our senses in our service, separately of the interests of Guru, separately of the interests of Krishna, we will be in difficulty and we will suffer and we will miss the real goal of life. But still there's a constant yearning. I want to enjoy at any cost. This is what this purport is talking about. But we should always consider and contemplate what is the consequence and the result of that enjoyment. It's suffering. Actually, any enjoyment separate of Krishna is suffering. It is a suffering condition. But because of Maya, madness, we think that that suffering is enjoyment. We're accepting the greatest enemy as our dearest, most friend. So there's one very nice verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which explains about sense gratification, which is stemming from bodily identification, and how to get over that. There is hope, ladies and gentlemen, there is hope. So the verse says, Sarvopadi vinur muktam tat paratvelam nirvalam rishikena rishikesha senam bhaktir uchite. What is that? That simply by serving the senses of this master of the senses, who is Krishna, one's senses becomes purified and one becomes rid of all designations. What does designation stem from? Thinking that we are this material body. So, the proper use of our senses is to serve the master of the senses. And that identification of the material body is called false ego. This is why Prabhupada mentioned this verse from the third chapter, Prakriti Kriyamanani. All the difficulty that we face in this world is based on false identification with the material body. If we don't identify with the material body, we will not be upset when things related to the material body happen. We will not be overly excited when something good happens, neither will be extremely dejected when something bad happens. We'll be equipoised. So Prabhupada gives in that purport a very nice statement. He says that the person in material consciousness does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. So his activities are going on, but he is thinking he is the doer. It is said that if Krishna does not sanction it, you cannot blink your eye. So we should understand that in all circumstances we are under the control of Krishna. Furthermore, it is said that if one remembers Lord Gauranga, even if the most difficult things are there, they become easy. But one forgets Lord Gauranga, even if the easiest things become difficult. But we should see that all things in life are the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially here in Mayapur, that Krishna is our ever well-wishing friend. It states here in this verse, Suridam Sarva Bhutana. He is a well-wishing friend of all living entities. He does not have any ill feeling towards us. He wants the best for us. So he's always making arrangements for our purification. To help us understand this, there's one very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8. I don't know the Sanskrit. Tattunukampam sushumikshaman. In this verse it is explained that if one faces the tests, the seemingly good and bad material circumstances, and continues practicing Krishna consciousness, what happens to such a person? He becomes eligible to enter the kingdom of God. And the commentators, it's not Prabhupada who writes this purport, it's the disciples of Prabhupada. They quote Sridhar Swami, who uses the example of a legitimate son of a rich father. Once the legitimate son passes the test of proving his worth to the father, what happens to him? He inherits the property of the father. So in the same way, if we stay chaste to Krishna, if we are obedient to Krishna's laws, and we face the tests, we will be eligible for Krishna's mercy. Now, let's bring all of this closer to home. It's a lot of philosophy now. Let's bring this a little closer to home. If we analyze our life, we see that, in my case at least, we're very far from being pure devotees. But that should not stop us from making the effort. And it is in making the effort that the purification comes. We should welcome it. Purification should be welcomed it because it's like a test, and after which we pass the test, we get graduated to the next grade. I see some boys from the Sri Mayapur International School here, and some of the Gurukul devotees are here. So you know that once you pass the grade you're on, you graduate to the next level.
it's not like you in grade 7 eternally. Although you may have your best friends and times then you want to stay in grade 7 eternally, but there's a time you graduate. So when you graduate and continue to stay in the fire, as they say, that is being under the shelter of the divine energy. There's one nice verse in Bhagavad Gita. Mahatmanas tu mam parta devim ashitam prakritam. Prakrita ashitam. Which means that divine spiritual energy, those who have taken shelter under the energy, are known as Mahatmas. But whoever attempts to practice Krishna consciousness very seriously, such a person may be considered a Mahatma. And you will feel the difference if you leave the shelter of a very strong Krishna conscious environment like Mayapur in the association of devotees and you may go somewhere else. What a difference it is. Mayapur is like, the material world is like a hospital. All of us have material illness to various degrees. But Mayapur is like intensive care unit. And the best medical practitioner is here. So we need only stay in the hospital to be healed after some time. Prabhupada mentions about this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tattu Mukham Pamsi Shumakshamano, that this knowledge that under all circumstances we are protected by the divine energy is our only solace. It's not unnatural to become disturbed and depressed if you look at our material situation. Wow, what a life I have. It's terrible, even as devotees. But the point is, if we keep faith that this is all an arrangement for my purification, arranged by the Lord, and I just have to patiently continue with my Krishna consciousness, plug along, try my best, and Krishna will take care of the rest, then we will attain Krishna's mercy. It takes the surrender. But the surrender has to be moment to moment. Why do we have to surrender moment to moment? Because Maya is testing us moment by moment. In this life, there's only two choices. There's only Krishna or Maya. There's no in between. And if we face the test and pass, like Upamanyu passed the test of his spiritual master, we get the full mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada is explaining in this purport of how materialistic civilization is promoting false leadership, artificial livelihood based on sense gratification. Why is this there? Because Krishna is not in the center. There's a nice shloka from the Ishupanishad. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat. That the Lord Krishna is the supreme owner and proprietor of all things. And one who understands this only accept what is set aside for him as his personal quota and should not infringe on other people's property, knowing well to whom it belongs. So in the material world, if you try to take another person's property, according to the laws of man, you'll be prosecuted, if you're caught, of course. But the law of God is longer than the arm of the Lord. He will catch you. And then you'll have to suffer the consequence. So last night, we witnessed the Solil Vihar ceremony of the Lord. And this is a very good way to shift our consciousness. If our consciousness is very much absorbed in what we are doing, our plan making, etc., it's very difficult to focus on Krishna. But if you increase the level of Krishna activity, coming to the temple as many times as we can during the day, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with very deep attention, focus and absorption, serving in terms of our devotional service that we have here in Mayapur, preaching about Krishna consciousness as much as possible, we fill our consciousness with Krishna. Prabhupada always referred to the sandwich program. A sandwich program means you do some spiritual practice in the morning, namely Mangal Aarti, your chanting of japa, etc. Then you go and do your service for the day, and in the evening there will be some katha, some Bhagavad Gita class, or some at least come to the temple for the festivals like Solil Vihar or Sandhya Aarti. In this way there's a nice sandwich. And we fill our Krishna, our consciousness with Krishna. In other words, we are Krishna conscious. I heard a sermon once on television, and it is about, well, the pastor was speaking something about remembering God always. And his angle was that if you fill your life and your mind with God, there's no space for evil. We may call evil Maya. So in this way, we see that if we fill our consciousness with these different activities, attending the temple programs, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with the Vaishnavas in a very respectful way, there's no space for Maya to enter. But if there's selfish, egoistic plan making, we are welcoming Maya to come into our lives. As pointed out in the purport here by Srila Prabhupada, the trouble in this material world is caused by a lack of Krishna consciousness. So in this purport, Prabhupada's mood and mission is exhibited. Prabhupada is not only concerned about his own welfare. Prabhupada cares for others, he lives for others, he died for others. And he lives on in his books for the purpose of helping others. So this is from the purport of today's verse. Prabhupada says, and due to a lack of Krishna consciousness, people are being fooled by so-called leaders and plan makers. Consequently, the sufferings of the people are increasing. According to the laws of nature, which are backed by the Lord, nothing can be permanent within this material world. Therefore, everyone should be allowed to take shelter of the Absolute in order to be saved. So the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for saving the world. It is the only thing standing between the human race and complete annihilation. And to take complete shelter is the only resolve for such people. But most of the people are in ignorance. They don't know. So our duty as followers of Srila Prabhupada, as ambassadors of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and emissaries of Sri Mayapur Dham, we should try our best to give Krishna consciousness to others as much as possible. The more you give, the more you receive. So I'd like to end with a little sad story. Please forgive me, but it'll make my point clear. You see, in Krishna consciousness, we have to be very, very serious. If you are not serious, and if you are lackadaisical, ease-loving, comfort-zone-loving, and you're not seeing the urgency of Krishna consciousness, there won't be any intensity in our chanting. We should chant with intensity. This is my last round. This is my last bead. This is my last mantra. This is my last name. When we chant with that intensity, we capture the attention of Krishna. Don't fool yourself. If we chant casually, we will become a casualty. We have to focus on the sound vibration of the holy name. The sound of Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Krishna is here, immediately. No doubt. No doubt. So this intensity can be there when we understand the precarious nature of our existence in this material world. I opened up by saying we are existing or living in the midst of a blazing forest fire. Now in the midst of a blazing forest fire, does it make sense to make comfortable living arrangements? You must make arrangements to run. This is the only outcast, the only way to deal with the blazing forest fire. So recently I got an email from South Africa, and in the temple where I was at, the Shishi Radharadana temple in Durban, there was one young boy, maybe 13 or 14, black-bodied boy, and he used to come for Mangalarti every day. And because we were trying to encourage him, we got him to lead the kirtan. Sometimes he led the Gurubhastakam, oftentimes he led the Tulsi Arti. So just a few weeks ago, whilst leading Tulsi Kirtan, he developed some pain in the body, suddenly. So another devotee took over the kirtan and they attended to him and escorted him out. And on the way to get medical attention, he left his body. So he was an aspiring godbrother of mine, and my spiritual master wrote an offering to him, saying that it is very shocking and sad that at such a young age he had to leave. But if you look at the circumstances under which he lived, the time in which he left, the activity in which he was performing, his destiny is undoubtedly very glorious. So there's one devotee in South Africa, I'm sorry, in South Africa above now. There's one devotee in South Africa named Govinda Charan. And he is an ecstatic Harinam devotee.
So when I look at this devotee performing Harinam, I thought, wow, I wish I could be like him. He's just relishing Harinam. He's loving to dance. He's encouraging the people on the streets. South Africa, they really love to dance in Harinam. So he's encouraging them to dance. He's also dancing and he's smiling from ear to ear, you know, literally. So I'm thinking, wow, I love to be like this devotee. And I was thinking, if this devotee were to leave his body right now, for sure he's going back to Govinda. And the nature of Govinda Charan Prabhu is always glorifying Krishna. During Harinam, obviously he's singing Maha Mantra. And during Prasadam, he'll put his head down and start Prasadam and pick up. You know, there's this pastime. And he's talking Krishna Katha. So if somebody's full of Krishna Katha and consciousness by the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Naturally, it'll come out when you open your mouth. If something is full, a jar is full with fizzy drink, let's say, some fizzy drink, and you open it, comes off. It's full with the stuff. So we are full in Afrikaans, propvol. If you're full with something, you know, then naturally when you open the mouth, it comes out. Of course, if you're full with Maya, the moment you open your mouth, prachalpa will come out. So we have this choice always, Krishna or Maya. Fill ourselves with discusses in Krishna, discuss amongst ourselves with Krishna. And just last night, I was walking back with my wife after doing the Solil Vihar offering of the flowers. And she was saying to me how nice she felt that we came to do this activity. She feels so Krishna conscious. And in this way, there's no space for any Maya, basically. So if we fill ourselves with Krishna conscious activities, specifically the chanting of the holy name, spreading the chanting of the holy name in Harinam and glorifying the holy name, preaching Krishna consciousness, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, engaging in devotional service, there's every possibility we will pass the test. And the success of passing the test is to go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So if there's any questions or comments, you have to. So there's some questions. There's a microphone here. And before you ask questions, I have to say something. When I sit on this asana, I'm very much afraid. You don't see it, but inside this Kurukshetra is going on inside. But I'm being honest. But the point is, I very much appreciate the opportunity to sit here because it's very purifying. I got to study. I really got to study. And I got to chant. And then that purifies me. So I'm grateful for this opportunity. And I thank the persons who asked me, and I thank you also for staying here and listening to me. And if there's anything that I've said wrong, you have the opportunity to correct me now so I can learn. And if I'm not following what I said in this class, outside you can tell me, hey, you're not following this. So you're assisting me in my Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Chano Prabhu. Prashna. None? So it's 10 to 8. But there's a question.
You were saying that at times we get full of Krishna and we want to give it out. And what happens when we give it out but the people don't accept it, no? And what should we do? Because instead of inspiring, at times we do the contrary, no?
Are you speaking about when you preach to people? His Holiness Kadamakana Maharaj says something very interesting about this in South Africa. Maharaj says that when you receive Krishna Prema, and all of you, just by the way, I invested with Krishna Prema. You're not happy to hear that? Haribo! All of you are invested with Krishna Prema. A little drop. Full dose, you won't be sitting here, you'll be flying in ecstasy, but some drop is there. So Maharaj says, when we receive this Krishna Prema from Krishna, it's a drop. But if we share that drop, it becomes a thimble. You know what is a thimble when you sow? It becomes a thimble. Then you take this thimble and you share this thimble, it becomes a cup. You take this cup and you share the cup, it becomes a bucket. And this way, it ever increases. But we should constantly replenish that mercy by being in the Sangha of devotees chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees, engaging in Krishna conscious katha in the association of devotees, that also constantly fills the cup. So the cup is there, it gets a little emptied, maybe half or as much as you like to give, but it must be constantly filled by yourself, and is constantly filled by Lord Chaitanya, because he recognizes what you do. When you preach Krishna consciousness, whose service are you assisting? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in spreading this Krishna consciousness movement to every town and village, there's no doubt he'll be pleased with you. There's no doubt that he'll be happy to cover what you lack and preserve what you have. There's a statement. Forgive me, but I don't know the source. It says, if you want to offer Krishna something with your two hands, how much can you offer him? And if Krishna wants to give you something with these four arms, how much can you receive with your two? So we are giving. How much actually can we give? But Krishna sees even the smallest effort and he's so pleased. There's a very nice story in this pastime. You all know this story, but just pretend that you don't. There was one very nasty witch called Putana. And Putana sprayed on her breast the deadliest poison, a drop of which can kill a gigantic living entity. But she wanted to kill baby Krishna. So came with a milk, a breast made the poison to kill baby Krishna, and she fed Krishna the milk. Krishna was saying, this person has come on my mother, let me suck her breast. So Krishna was sucking, he sucked the poison, he sucked her milk, and he sucked her life air. Putana died. But what was the goal, what is the destination of Putana? She went back to Godhead. Not only that, she got the personal service to be Krishna's nanny in the spiritual world, his mother. But what was her intention? She came to kill Krishna. But what did Krishna see? Krishna saw that little bit of devotional attitude. So you, Mataji, if you're trying your best to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, which I know that you are, then Krishna will definitely reciprocate. Don't lose hope that you're giving and giving and giving and giving. Because if you are not receiving as you're giving, you won't be able to continue giving. That's a sign that you're receiving. Whatever you're giving, you are receiving. That's why you're able to continue giving up to this very moment. And that's why you're able to continue giving, which I know you are. Please continue. Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure, is smiling upon you, and Mahaprabhu's mercy is upon you. All of you that are trying so nicely to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Any other questions? So we'll break a little early today and go down to greetings. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.